This is the Horseshoe FAQ Podcast on Colts.com. We're getting you up to date on the Colts. Now, here's Matt Taylor and Kevin Bowen.
All right, let's recap the draft on a special version of Horseshoe FAQ inside the HomeLoanExpert.com radio studio. Matt Taylor and Kevin Bowen here on Colts.com, the Colts mobile app, and on iTunes as well. And the Colts drafted 8 players over the weekend. They signed a bunch of undrafted free agents, and today they've let some players go. So, Kevin, it's been a wild, wild couple of days trying to keep up with all the facts and nuggets on all the new Colts that have come in.
It is crazy trying to mix and match, you know, names with faces and numbers and stats and quotes. And Saturday was especially a little wild when the Colts traded back early in the fourth round, and then they ended up having five selections over a 24-pick span. Which is something that I've never really been a part of. And then they made 5 selections. They didn't trade any of those picks once they traded back with San Francisco. So I think the biggest takeaway that I have, Matt, is just you went into the draft thinking defense, 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 and you come out of it 6 of your 8 picks on that side of the ball.
Right.
Every level of the defense was addressed throughout the 3 days. And I thought that was the most important thing going into it was not only – do you need to get younger and more talented on that side of the ball? But the cornerback position especially was key to take care of, and the Colts found 2 of those over the 3 days.
Well, I guess we can work in inverse order here. Start with today, go back to Thursday night of last week. Start with today, the Colts made a lot of moves. They released 10 players on the roster, including Matt Overton. They also let go another long snapper in Joe Fortunato. Larry Scott is on this list, Devin Street, the wide receiver. But what do you make of the move of Matt Overton? How surprising is that to see his name show up there?
A little bit, just because he's been the guy since 2012. Since the new regime came in, he was the long snapper for this team every game. And now Adam Vinatieri is the only specialist coming back for 2017 with Pat McAfee entering retirement and Matt Overton waived. The Colts are saving a little bit of money. I think it's like $500,000 by parting ways with Overton. He was under contract for 2018 as well. And one of the undrafted names that we're seeing being reported is Thomas Hennessy out of Duke, who is a long snapper. And I guess he's your starting long snapper for the 2017 season. So he'll be snapping to Jeff Locke, the new holder. And then Adam Vinatieri's 22nd NFL year will have a new holder and a new long snapper for this team. But I was a little bit surprised just because he's just so darn reliable. I can't recall really any time he had a blunder from a snapping standpoint in his 5 seasons. Remarkable career for him, a tremendous impact on the Indianapolis community. So yeah, sad to see Matt go, but I understand it from a football standpoint.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday then undrafted free agents were brought in and signed. As we said, several names on this list. Some of the names that stuck out to me, running back Brandon Radcliffe out of Louisville, had a really nice career. Deshaun Bond, offensive lineman out of Cincinnati, played locally at Warren Central High School. I remember calling some of his games on the radio.
And he was at the local pro day back in April.
And then you've got a couple of guys at wide receiver. You've got Trey Griffey, wide receiver out of Arizona. And if you don't know by now, he is the son of Ken Griffey Jr., the Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. Jerome Lane, wide receiver out of Akron. Garrett Sickles, defensive end out of Penn State, was on that list. Locally, Martez Hester, safety out of Ball State, showed up here. Linebacker out of Stanford is Noor Davis. He's a minicamp guy. Other than those guys, anybody else stand out to you on that undrafted free agent list? We know the Colts have done really well for themselves in the undrafted portion of the draft.
Yeah, 18 straight years the Colts have had an undrafted rookie on their week one roster. There are a couple positions that I thought. Running back Dalton Crossan out of New Hampshire. He had a very impressive pro day, a shifty guy. I think he could be a threat out of the backfield. And then Darryl Daniels, a tight end out of Washington. I think if there was one position I was a little bit surprised that the Colts didn't draft, it was tight end, just because we heard all offseason long how much the Colts love the depth of that group. But the depth also, I think, extends into the undrafted free agent class for the tight end position. And Daniels, very athletic, a long, has huge hands, a tight end out of Washington. So those are some of the positions to watch. The defensive backs as well. Chris Lyles is a 6'4 DB out of Mississippi College. Mississippi College isn't the SEC by any means, but a 6'4 defensive back is not something that you see every day. So we'll find out here next weekend, May 12th through the 14th, what these guys look like during the rookie minicamp.
All right, then let's go to Saturday. At the end of the round on Saturday, you talked about all those picks the Colts had in the fourth and the fifth rounds. The last player the Colts took was in the fifth round at 161 overall, Anthony Walker Jr. He's an inside linebacker out of Northwestern, 6'1", 238 pounds. He was first-team All-Big Ten, third-team AP All-American a couple years ago. He wasn't as productive in his junior season as he had been, but this is a guy that it's all about competition and pushing guys at that spot, and we know the inside linebacker race is wide open as we progress here in the offseason workout program.
Wide open. So throwing Anthony Walker's name into Edwin Jackson and Antonio Morrison, the two returners from last year, and then John Bostic and Sean Spence, two free agents that have started elsewhere in the NFL. They were brought in during the offseason. So the things that I think stand out about Walker is just his leadership. And that's something that the Colts need. They need new leaders to emerge on the defensive side of the ball. Now, it is hard to lead when you're not playing, so I think for Walker to truly make an impact in that area, he's got to get on the field. But I know that was something that the Colts were really, really impressed with, just his poise. He's a son of a high school football coach. How he handled himself in their combine interview back in February really struck a chord with the Indianapolis Colts. And he's got some speed. He was an All Big Ten. I think he was an All American actually in 2015.
Right.
So he has some pedigree. Now you throw him into the mix and just see what all shakes out with that inside linebacker group.
All right. Then also in the fifth round, a couple of picks before that, we got 158 overall. Nate Hairston, cornerback out of Temple, 6', 196 pounds. Really intriguing guy.
Really intriguing, yeah.
He played wide receiver in college initially, and then a couple of coaches kept peppering him saying, hey, you would make a pretty good defensive back. He was reluctant to the change, but then eventually said, okay, I'll do it for the betterment of the team. And then there was a story about how Todd Bowles from the Jets was out at a workout at Temple and noticed him and said, hey, if you continue at this, you've got the size, the frame, and the makeup to be a really good corner in the draft. And then from that point on, in Hairston's mind, he was all in 100% on getting better as a corner.
Yeah, and this is a guy that I think the ceiling is very high on, and it comes at a very important position of need, cornerback. The Colts needed to draft two corners here in 2017, and they did that with Hairston coming in the fifth round and Quincy Wilson in the second round. Just because Hairston is a fifth-round pick, don't think for a second that means he's not going to play too much.
I mean,
there's an opportunity for him to be a nickel corner or, you know, push – you know, for those reps behind Vontae Davis and probably Quincy Wilson. I thought the things that really intriguing by Hairston is that story with Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles went to Temple, the Jets head coach, has been a defensive back, defensive coach in the NFL for a long time, and he went to Temple a couple years ago and saw Hairston at practice. Hairston, first 3 years as a receiver, making the switch to corner, and was very honest and said, you got a chance, kid. And here we are 2 years later. Hairston didn't allow a touchdown in 36 targets last year, has moved around in Temple's defense, which is something that the Colts, I think, are looking for because there is no locked-in nickel corner as the Colts get ready for the 2017 season. So, yes, Nate Hairston, fifth-round pick. I think he's got a chance to really earn some playing time here as a rookie.
Yeah, and to your point, Chuck Pagano, either last week or it all runs together here after a while, but I know I've heard him say that 65% of NFL defenses are in sub-packages, whether it be dime or nickel. So exactly what you said, Hairston's going to play. It's just a matter of will he start or be more than a role player inside those sub-packages, nickel and dime.
And I think that's the biggest storyline coming out of the draft is how do the Colts use those sub-packages? Because the playing time at corner is up in the air. The playing time at safety is really up in the air. Malik Hooker, obviously probably going to start. You don't draft the guy 15th overall and him not start. But then besides Hooker, it's what's Darius Butler's role? You know, where's T.J. Green fit into all this? Does Clayton Gathers play more of that dime linebacker when you go to those sub-packages? So that's a lot of unknown. Ted Monachino can get really creative with that secondary. And that is a unit that has really changed and had a big facelift in the past few days.
All right, let's go up to the fourth round at 144th overall. The Colts drafted Grover Stewart, 6'5", 334 pounds, defensive lineman out of Albany State. That's in Georgia. and this is a Division II college, Kevin, and a lot of people were surprised, but the Colts are high on Grover Stewart in that they did their homework on him and felt good enough to draft him in the fourth round.
And isn't Grover just a great name for a big, middle-of-the-line defensive lineman? Grover.
Yeah. It kind of rings true. A sack by Grover.
Exactly. I just feel like that.
You know, he's got like a bad temper.
Bad temper. You know? Just a kind of a big old guy. That
he's
just
a big dude.
Clogs up a bunch of space, and that is Grover Stewart. I mean, so what is he, 6'4"?
You want your leftovers? Just give them to Grover. That's what I think of.
He's not going to be missing too many meals inside the Colts cafeteria. 6'4", 347, 27 sacks.
Yeah.
I know he played the Division II level, but to have that sort of pass rush ability to collapse the pocket and create interior pressure is, I think, why the Colts felt like, okay, yes, he comes from the Division II level, but he's worth a fourth-round pick.
And he stood up as a rush linebacker on passing down, so he has that experience, too.
He's moved all over that defensive line. That's something that stood out to the Colts, that he's not just a nose tackle, because you look at that frame, you think, okay, 6'4", 340, whatever, he's going to play nose. The Colts feel like he can move all over. He did play in the NFLPA All-Star game this past year, and so he got some experience and get some Division I competition and more than held his own there. So I think when you're looking at Stewart, probably not an immediate need for him to play from day one, just because the Colts have a lot of depth on that defensive line with Jonathan Hankins and Kendall Langford and Henry Anderson. But this goes back to kind of Chris Ballard's draft philosophy, and we're going to talk about Zach Banner, the offensive lineman, down the road. You know, O-line, D-line weren't the biggest needs coming into the draft, but Ballard has always said, those are core draft positions that I'm going to come back to throughout a draft, and I always want to draft those positions in the trenches. So I think that's why the Colts closed out round four with the pick of Grover Stewart.
All right, then their second pick in the fourth round, 143rd overall, the Colts drafted Marlon Mack, a running back from South Florida. Smaller guy, 5'11", 213 pounds, got a lot of big playability in him, a lot of long runs in him as well. I think he ran for over like 270 yards in his first game he ever played.
Four touchdowns,
at college football, and he improved over time as a pass catcher in college as well. So your thoughts on Marlon Mack? I was really satisfied, may not be the right word, but I have no issue with Marlon Mack as the Colts running back in the draft. We all knew the Colts would get one in this draft, and it just so happens to be the young man from South Florida.
Yeah, we knew the Colts would get one, and I think both of us, Matt, thought that the Colts needed to get a speed one, and that's what Marlon Mack is, that home run ability that he has. I think six of his 15 touchdowns last year were at least 43 yards. Just a lot of big play potential in the open field. South Florida moved him around a lot in their spread offense, splitting him out wide. Like you said, he has improved as a receiver. I know when the Colts got on the clock, I want to say, what was it, pick 142 or something?
43.
143. Chris Ballard said that there are a couple running backs in play there. The issue, or not the issue, but what separated Mack from the others was that speed element that he brings to the table. That complements what you already have in place with Frank Gore and Robert Turbin. That's something that this offense has been lacking. A true game breaker at the running back position has been missing for quite some time. So I think Marlon Mack can factor into reps alongside Frank Gore and Robert Turbin. And then with Gore entering the contract year, the Colts could be asking for a lot more out of Marlon Mack as early as 2018.
Yeah, we knew the depth at running back in the draft was very deep. But the Colts gave up the, I think it was the 121st overall pick in a trade with the 49ers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this pick, but they got the 161st pick back. And in that time, a handful of running backs went. I think you saw Donnell Pumphrey from San Diego State go, Jamal Williams go, Wayne Gallman from Clemson go. What are your thoughts on those guys going ahead of the Colts, where they could have drafted one of those guys had they not made the trade?
I think it was clear that Chris Ballard wanted to trade back at some point in this draft. I think he wanted to add one more pick. So I think that is why he did what he did there at, you know, 121 overall when the Colts moved back, what was it, I think 16 spots or something with San Francisco. So Mack was a guy that I kind of always had on my mind because of the traits that he brings to the running back position. And the Colts, I think, still got him. I know there are other running backs that went that maybe could have been options for this team, but it was a very deep running back class. I have no issue in trading back at all. And well, they get Nate Hairston, I guess, was the pick that they got, or Anthony Walker. One of those fifth-round picks ended up being the extra San Francisco
It was
pick.
Anthony Walker was the pick they got from the 49ers.
So, yeah, I think it was key to add an inside linebacker at some point in this draft. So, yeah, I completely understand why the Colts traded back, and I still think they got a guy that they could have taken at 121 overall and been pretty pleased with.
In Marlon Mack?
Yeah.
Really?
I think when day four started, Marlon Mack was one of the better running backs still on the board. A three-year starter at South Florida, rushed for 1,000 yards in each of those seasons. Very durable. Don't believe he missed a game in his 3 years at South Florida. And we know that's something that the Colts have struggled with outside of Frank Gore at the running back position. So, yeah, I would have taken Marlon Mack at 121 overall and been just fine with it. I think he has the potential to add something to this offense.
All right, the first pick on Saturday in the fourth round, 137th overall, the Colts nabbed Zach Banner, offensive lineman from USC, and this dude is going to cast a shadow. 6'8", 353 pounds. Make sure there's extra chicken wings inside the cafeteria. This is a massive, massive human being with outstanding upper body strength, and the Colts were really high on him, Kevin, in that they flew Joe Philbin out to a USC workout to make sure they liked what they saw, made sure they visited with the young man. I don't think they had time to do that at the combine, but this guy was intriguing enough that they sent a couple of personnel people out west. They did their homework on him, and Zach Banner could be a home run, maybe a starter at right tackle. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I will tell you what, Zach Banner on his conference call sounds like a spokesperson for Visit Indy. It was incredible listening to him, and the only time he spent in Indianapolis is for the combine. And he was talking about Giordano's, how much he loves the pizza place, the Ram restaurant.
Two for two right there, man.
This is a guy that can talk a big game. I'm a very engaging personality. I really enjoyed listening to him on the conference call. He actually played basketball at USC his first year, played some AAU basketball, he said, in Fort Wayne in his high school days. He has lost some weight. I think he's listed at 360. He said that he's down to about 349 and wants to lose a little bit more weight. That was, I think, a reason why he dropped. His teams just weren't sure, you know, how committed he was to getting in shape and, you know, playing at a consistent weight here at the NFL level. I don't think that the Colts need him to come in and compete for a starting job. I think LaRaven Clark is still probably your guy at right tackle. But I did think tackle, if you're going to pick an offensive lineman during the draft, that tackle made a lot of sense to me. So the things that you like about Banner is his size. I mean, once he gets his hands on you, it's over. You know, he just engulfs people. I mean, it's 6'8", 340-some pounds. I mean, he's easily one of the biggest offensive linemen in the NFL right now. Dave Rosano, the area scout for the Colts at Scouts Out West, said that he was impressed by the game film he saw against Tack McKinley, the UCLA pass rusher. He thought Banner did a pretty good job against some speed rushers this past year. So the Colts were clearly high on him. I mean, like you said, Matt, they flew out Chris Ballard and Joe Philbin to USC. You don't see that very often for a middle-round guy. So Banner can come in here, throw him into the mix, and just add another piece to an already young offensive line with the arrow pointing up on that group.
All right, here's what Dave Rosano had to say on Banner. As big as he is, he's got really nice feet. When he gets his hands on people, he gets his hands up really quickly and stymies guys fairly quickly. He's really productive, really good lateral range, moves well enough to engulf people on the second level. And in pass protection, he's hard to get around. And in run blocking, he's very efficient as well. I mean, right. I mean, it sounds like the perfect offensive lineman if you have to draft one up.
And he is the son of Lincoln Kennedy. That is his biological father, Lincoln Kennedy, former top 10 pick, 3-time Pro Bowler. So the genes are there. The frame is there. I think it's just fine-tuning a lot of that, making sure that maybe his body, does it take a year to get it where you want it to?
Right.
And I'm intrigued by just kind of what Banner looks like, you know, a year from now, if the Colts feel like, you know, he can be a potential tackle for this team.
All right, let's go to day two. Third round, 80th overall, the Colts drafted Terrell Basham, edge rusher, Ohio University. Not Ohio State, Ohio U.
The Bobcats.
6'4", 262 pounds. And I think that, you know, obviously the day one edge rushers were really highly touted. I don't know how big the drop-off was between day one and day two guys, but maybe you could say the Colts got an upper echelon of the second batch of edge rushers here. Is that fair to say?
I think it is, and I think this is kind of what you usually see in rounds two and round three. Guys that, you know, didn't play at the top level of college football coming from the MAC conference, but his production level extremely high. I mean, he was a MAC Defensive Player of the Year. I think it was 16-some tackles for loss, 11 sacks. I think what stood out to Chris Ballard was what Terrell Basham showed against Tennessee last year. Ohio played Tennessee Derek Barnett, of course, for the Volunteers, went one pick before the Colts, the pass rusher. Basham had two sacks in that game. So when he got a chance against elite competition, the best conference in college football, he put some good film on tape. So the Colts love his length. They love his ability to get off the ball pretty quick. I think he had a really fast 10-yard portion of the 40-yard dash. So they think that can translate. Mm-hmm. They believe he's a three-down guy. So the Colts don't need Basham to come in and start with Jabal Sheard and John Simon and Akeem Ayers, but they certainly need some situational help from a pass rushing standpoint. So we'll see if Basham can factor into that mix. Outside linebacker, maybe the Colts could have gone around earlier for the need, but Basham was a guy that I had seen, you know, pop up in the second round of some mock draft. So we'll see, you know, kind of how he can be groomed here as he makes a transition from a 4-3 defensive end to a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Yeah, because he can do both. And the second round pick that the Colts used instead of an edge rusher, they spent that on a corner out of Florida, Quincy Wilson, 46th overall. This is the beginning of Friday night in the middle of the round, 6'1", 213 pounds. And the biggest thing that strikes me about Quincy is his confidence. He does not lack in his abilities and what he thinks of himself in a good way, right?
Especially at that position.
Right. And he played in the SEC, played some really good quarterbacks, some really good offenses, and he made a ton of plays. If you just go on YouTube, for example, you can view his great plays, you know, some one-handed catches, interceptions, you know, locking people down. And he also supports the run pretty well, a willing tackler on defense.
The top cornerback rated by Pro Football Focus last year in terms of passer rating, 29.9 is what quarterbacks threw when they were targeting Quincy Wilson. 6'1", 200 and some pounds, 210, I want to say, yeah. 213.
Listed as 213.
I mean, this is a guy that's a big corner, and that's what Chris Ballard wants. He wants long. Nate Hairston in the fifth round is a 6-foot corner. Quincy Wilson looks like a safety almost when you watch him initially. But like you said, Matt, he does not lack in confidence at all. He's an admitted trash talker out there, and it feels like that can frustrate some guys. But, you know, playing at an elite level in the best conference in college football really stood out. He was a name that I think we saw in some mock drafts at 15 overall for the Colts. So I think it was a bit of a surprise that he lasted to the 46th pick. But it was a deep cornerback draft. The Colts had to find one. They had to find one early on. And if you're playing tomorrow, in my depth chart, Quincy Wilson's your starter opposite Vontae Davis.
I would agree, and the Colts need that. They need to not necessarily define, but have a really good plan of who's going to be that corner. Because
who's going to be the number two corner, and then Vontae's in a contract year.
Right, exactly. And it's been a revolving door at that spot opposite of Vontae Davis. And to your point, theoretically, as early as 2018, the Colts could be looking for another franchise cornerback.
Right. I mean, it has been the Greg Tollers. I mean, Gerard Powers early on. I mean, Darius Butler has had some time at that number two corner spot. I know I'm forgetting names. Jaleel Brown.
Patrick Robinson.
Rashawn Melvin, Daryl Morris still on the roster. Both of those guys, I think, have shown something. Did, you know, a nice job filling in last year in a pinch after being cut by other teams after the preseason. But when you look at the future of the secondary, you found it in this draft. Wilson, Malik Hooker, potentially Nate Hairston. I mean, in 2-3 years, those could be three of your starters at the back end of your defense.
All right. Finally, as we wrap up the first rounder and the oldest news, 15th overall, Malik Hooker, the first pick for the Colts safety out of Ohio State, listed at 6'2", 205 pounds. He was in studio. I would say more he's like 6'4". And he looks like he's 230, although I know that's not true. But you see, he's a giant man. He's got really broad shoulders.
He's got a presence to him, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you watch his tape, the biggest thing that stands out is his ability to cover hash mark to hash mark. Even bigger than that, his ability to roam and play center field is just astonishing. And when teams like to play cover three, you can put him back there, and he can basically go sideline to sideline, it seems like.
Yeah, a tremendous basketball player in high school. You see the lateral quickness when he is roaming from hash mark to hash mark. And not only does he get to the point of attack, he makes the play in the air at the point of attack. I mean, some of his interceptions are remarkable to watch.
I mean, he covers so much ground. Yeah,
he just doesn't get there. He makes the play. And I think that's what separated him on the Colts board from a lot of others. I mean, Reuben Foster was there. Jonathan Allen was there. The Colts had some choices to make at 15 overall. They also could have traded back. But Malik Hooker's playmaking is rare. And that was the biggest thing, I think, lacking from the Colts defense last year. No pass rush. What was it, 7 picks, I think, the Colts had last year? Maybe it was 8 picks.
It was 8 picks.
8 picks in 16 games. Well, Malik Hooker had 7. in 13 games. So his ability then to not only get the ball, but then turn him into points. I mean, three touchdowns returned off of those interceptions. So very impressed by his playmaking. Probably just needs to improve a little bit on his tackling. You listen to Urban Meyer, Greg Schiano, his defensive coordinator at Ohio State. They don't think tackling is much of an issue. They just think just a couple poor angles from a guy that's pretty young in his experience at safety, just a one-year starter coming from Ohio State. But this is a guy that instantly upgrades your playmaking ability on the defensive side of the ball, and the Colts needed to do that here in 2017, and Chris Ballard was not shy leading up to the draft and saying how important that was, and he didn't expect Malik Hooker to be there at 15, but once he was, it didn't take long for the Colts to make that decision.
All right, let's go 2017. I'll ask you 2018.
Okay.
How many starters out of this draft next season? I'm going to say three.
Okay, I'm going to go with two. Who's your third?
You know what? I like the idea of Banner being able to start at right tackle.
I don't know. I think LaRaven Clark showed enough late last year. I think there's still some rawness with Banner. I mean, does he have to get into a professional weight room and now reshape his body to what to the playing weight he wants to be at? Because that playing weight fluctuated too much in college. I mean, he was listed at 380 at times.
So your two are Hooker and Wilson?
Hooker and Wilson, and I have Mack, Basham, and Hairston playing a lot. Yeah. Especially Hairston, I think, has the potential to maybe be your number three corner or your number four corner, and depending on how the Colts use their sub-packages, you know, that number three or number four corner is going to be on the field quite a bit. I think Mack is going to have a role offensively for Rob Chudzinski, and Basham is going to be a situational pass rusher.
I don't know. It could be a long shot, but I like Banner, though.
Yeah.
I do like Banner.
Yeah, I mean,
tools are there.
It is intriguing. I mean, you can't teach 6'8", 340-some pounds, and he's a three-year starter at USC. So say what you want about, you know, maybe his rawness, but there was a reason he dropped to the fourth round, and I just think the Colts aren't in a pressing need for him to play right away. And
well, that's the good news. You're right. That's the good news out of all of it. And they don't need him to start.
This isn't like last year where you're drafting four offensive linemen and you need two to come in and probably play from day one. The Colts have the luxury now to where they can bring him along a little bit slower. I mean, look at LaRaven Clark last year, Matt. I mean, third-round pick.
Yeah, he was inactive basically half the season.
He was pretty much a redshirt until week 15, and then the Colts kind of throw him to the Wolves, and he more than held his own. So I think the Colts have the luxury to where they can be more patient with a guy like Banner.
Okay, 2018.
2018, a lot could be playing. I mean, Hairston could be a starter at corner with Vontae Davis entering a contract year. A guy like Anthony Walker could develop into your starting inside linebacker, depending on how all of that shakes out, because there's really no long-term answer, I think, at inside linebacker right now. Basham could be still kind of a situational guy because Jabal Sheard and John Simon are on three-year deals, but I think just roles would expand for Basham.
And Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack could really be a starter. So, yeah, I mean, if I was going 2018, I would say probably three or four guys could be starting. I mean, Hooker and Wilson, you would expect them to continue to start. Mack could be a starter. Robert Turbin is under contract for 2018, so maybe it's kind of some split duty at the running back position. But, yeah, Hairston and Mack probably are the two guys that could really see, you know, some sort of role here as rookies and then really ascend in their second years.
Well, as we know, the roster is fluid. I mean, Chris Ballard made that very evident last week and then already over the weekend, you know, saying that it's just it is a continuous looking for talent. It doesn't stop with the draft. It doesn't stop with undrafted free agents. We know in the past the Colts have brought in guys like Mike Adams in June. You know,
Mon Bradshaw.
Exactly.
One year.
Yeah. So the search continues, and we'll have more Colts news throughout the week. Phase two of the off-season program started today, and we look forward to our normal podcast coming up on Wednesday.
Like you said, phase two, 3 weeks long.
Yep.
The Colts will get on the field for some individual work. Coaches can be out there, and then a couple other dates to keep in mind. May 12th is the start of the rookie minicamp, and then May 22nd is OTAs. The rookies will come together.
The
and
real OTAs.
That will be team drill, so offense versus defense, and we'll get a look to get on the field and see how these new guys mix in with some of the vets.
Some real football, or the closest thing to it here in the spring.
The closest thing that you're going to get, the pads and the...
It is the month of May. We're getting closer.
I know.
We're getting closer.
Things are getting faster around the city of Indianapolis, and the same goes for the Colts as well.
All right, more Colts Breakdown coming up later this week on another episode of Horseshoe FAQ, but thanks for listening right now. For Kevin Bowen, I'm Matt Taylor. Thanks for dropping in here on Colts.com.